Good morning, West Houston. I want to introduce you to my friend and former classmate, Jeremy Chu. Jeremy is the English student pastor at Fort Bend Community Church. Born and raised here in Houston, Jeremy first started getting into ministry by helping lead worship at his church, and God just called him into a deeper and deeper passion for him. After graduating from UT, Jeremy then returned back here to Houston, and he started serving as the youth intern and eventually transitioned into the youth director back in 2010. As God called him into deeper ministry, Jeremy started attending Dallas Theological Seminary, where he graduated with a master's in theology in 2015. Jeremy is married to his lovely wife, Melody, where she also attended DTS, and she graduated with a degree in biblical counseling. I wish I could be there to witness and to experience the preaching from Jeremy, but I know you guys will be blessed by it. So would you guys join me as we welcome him to our pulpit this morning?
Good morning, church. It's good to see some familiar faces. I haven't seen you guys in a while. Hey, Dehorn, how you got me? I'm excited to be able to come, and I'm so blessed to be able to just come and share with you guys this morning. I wanted to introduce myself a little bit more besides what Pastor Chris just shared with you guys, just for us to get to know each other a little bit more. I know that when it comes to guest speakers, a lot of times we're just these one-off opportunities, and the guest speakers usually just come and they share a little bit, and then that's nice, and then we kind of move on. But I just wanted to share a little bit about who I am and some of the things that I'm really passionate about. This picture that I have for us on the slide this morning. This is our almost a year. Our son Isaiah, he is going to be one on September 21st. So we're really excited. And if anybody here has recently had a newborn, like AKA Chris, if you're watching, you can get there. It's possible. We love our son is a pandemic baby, and so very few people have seen him. It's such a strange time to be, and so it's a really big blessing for us as new parents. Like Chris said, I am the student pastor at Fort Bend Community Church. Actually, just this year, I moved from just being exclusively the youth pastor to more of a student going college all the way down pastor, and it's been really interesting. And just really quick, anybody in college here? Anybody going to college? Okay, we have a couple of college students in the back. Okay, cool. Learning about college students is really interesting. I don't know if you last time you've talked to college students or have been around college students. It's really they're really fun, and they say a lot of things that you may not understand. And so one of the things that I hope for us as a church this morning is to be able to kind of cross that bridge and be able to talk to our younger people or talk to different people or people who are in the Vietnamese-speaking congregation or things like that. I love playing basketball. I've played years and years with Dehorn. If you guys know Dehorn, he kicked my butt for a really, really long time, and we just haven't been able to play the past 2 years. And so look forward to the time when we get to play together once again. Our favorite place to vacation is New Zealand, and rightly so. This is my favorite movie series, the Lord of the Rings series. I also just want an additional thing. Like, I love collecting sneakers. I'm a huge sneakerhead, although right now with our son, that's kind of been put on hold. Hopefully temporarily, but maybe permanently. So that's just a little bit about me, and the hope is that, you know, that this isn't just a one-time shot, that hopefully I'll get to come back if Chris thinks it's a good idea. And I'll get to know you guys a little bit more, especially outside of the pandemic context, and we'll just spend time fellowshipping and being able to be in community with each other. Now, that's just an intro. Hopefully I'll get to know a few of you guys. But today, what I wanted to talk to us about is Chris proposed this series called Coffee Break, where in the midst of the pandemic for us, a lot of us have been either separated, far apart. We've been isolated. Now, I've been in youth ministry for over 10 years, and this past year for all of our students, I don't know how our college students here or our youth here are doing, but doing school on Zoom is probably like top three worst things of all time. I don't know if you've talked to any students, right? I don't know if you have students. I don't know if you have kids. But it has been extremely hard. And what has happened is the isolation of doing school online, doing church online, doing trying to do small groups online, trying to be in community online, all of these things have left us as a church isolated. And ultimately what has creeped into the church is a division of the church. Because what happens is we're sitting by ourselves. We see what's going on outside in the world, and we begin to place certain ideas or judgments upon other people. This past 2 or 3 months, I've had conversations with several students and several parents. And one of the things that this conversation that really stuck out to me was this dad who has a elementary school student and a college student. And he told me, he said, "Pastor Jeremy, I just don't understand young people. I don't get why they care so much about these social justice issues. I don't understand why they keep talking about all of these other justice, racial reconciliation, all of these issues. Why can't they just listen to what we're saying?" And I said to him, "You know, that's really tough. It's really hard. This is one of our, at Fort Bend, one of our most committed families at our church. And for them to have this conversation with me, but just talking about a lack of understanding, the inability because of the way our churches are structured, you know, like we have the EM here, the English ministry here, the Vietnamese speaking in another room or another time. Just these things that have really disconnected us as people, as the church, and even for us as families. All of us have an innate desire to be understood. And that's what I want to talk about today. This idea that, you know, our parents, they don't get us. They don't understand us. They just don't get it. Or if you're a parent talking to your young people, what does it mean to be lit? What does that word mean? What is that, you know, and then using vocabulary, trying to talk about these things, trying to talk to young people and just coming to the conclusion, I will never understand them. Each and every one of us has an innate desire for connection and understanding. Even this morning I took my son out to just for a quick walk. It was actually, you know, finally Houston weather. Finally, it's bearable to be outside without a ton of mosquitoes. And he was pointing at things and he wanted things. And he was trying to point at something that he wanted to go see. And I kept, you know, taking the stroller and going left and then right, not being able to quite figure out. He started getting upset with me, you know. And if you know any like 11, 12-month-old baby, you know, they cannot communicate with you, right? So even from a baby's perspective, they have this desire and understanding to be known and to be understood. Our world today, as we look out, the divisions of our world, just. Think about what you've seen in the news or what you've seen on your Instagram feed or TikTok feed, whatever, however you get your news sources. Our world is divided, and that division in the world has crept into the church and has crept into our families, which is why I wanted to talk about this topic today, empathy in a divided world. We as the church, in order to be a unified church, to be one church, West Houston Vietnamese Baptist Church, we're one church. But in order to do that, we need to have this heart of empathy and understanding. So today, what I wanted to do is talk about, I have four questions for us that we wanted to answer. First is, where does empathy come from? Secondly, what exactly is empathy? Third, why is empathy important to the church? And four, how does this affect me? Why does this even matter? So let's start with question one. Question one, where does empathy come from? In the book of Exodus chapter 34, there's a scene that happens. Moses is going to meet God for the very first time. For the very first time, Moses is about to meet God. And he's about to go into the promised land. And he's about to, after 40 years of wandering around in the desert, taking the Israelites, listening to them complain about everything that's going on, Moses is about to enter the promised land, and he knows that he's not allowed to go in. He's about to hand the reins off to Joshua, and he's about to meet God. Exodus chapter 34, this is what it says. It says, "And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'This is the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" See, this word compassion, this is how God describes himself. The first adjective that God uses to describe himself is compassionate. See, this is at the core who God is. God describes himself as compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. See, the word compassion is broken down into two parts. The first is this feeling of empathy, or in some cases sympathy, and sorrow for another person that is stricken by misfortune. In the Hebrew, this word means the core. It's similar to the word of a womb, as in a woman's womb, as where a baby would be grown. And so this whole idea is compassion comes from the core, comes from within. Imagine a mother's tender feelings for her vulnerable infant. This idea of compassion conveys an intense emotion. Scripture talks about how Jesus sees the crowd and he is filled with compassion. He feels it. And then the second part, he is moved into action, where Jesus goes and he cares for the people. Right? In the Old Testament, we see this all throughout God's character as well. As the Israelites are suffering and they're being oppressed in Egypt, he hears their cries and he is compelled and he is moved into action by calling Moses forth to lead them out of slavery. As the Israelites wander through the deserts, they're hungry, they're tired, they need food. God provides, he hears, and he's compassionate, and he is moved to care for their needs. See, compassion is empathy plus action. Compassion is empathy plus compassion. See, this idea of empathy comes straight from our God. It's not some made-up word, or it's not something that it's about. My wife is a professional counselor, and so she uses this word a lot, but it's not from them. This word empathy comes from compassion, which comes directly from our God. So this is where, for us as the church, we need to begin. A lot of us aren't quite there, but I do want to focus on this idea of empathy. So what exactly is it? Empathy is the ability to put yourself into someone else's shoes. Empathy is the ability to put yourself, take your perspective of something and put it into someone else's shoes. Now, I'm talking about this subject, but I personally am not great at it. I'm still working on it. This is something I'm continuously working on. When I was very early on in my youth ministry, there was a young man who came into my office. He came into my office and he sat me down and he said, "Jeremy, I just want to let you know that my dad just left my mom and my family." He's the oldest of his siblings, and his dad left. Now, I want to ask you, if you were in that situation, how would you respond? This young man was about 13, 14 at the oldest at that time. For someone to come into your room, your office, and say, "My dad left. He's gone." If your response is, "Hey, Jeremy, I have no idea how to respond to that," guess what? You're in the right place. You're in the right place. "I'm not sure. I don't know." It means that you are actually considering that situation, considering what that young man is going through, and you're deciding if you know what to say or what to do in that moment. Empathy means you are able to put yourself in that young man's shoes and go to a place of emotionally understanding what that's like. Now, my response to this young man was not that. I can tell you right now, I failed very miserably. I immediately turned to the solutions base and I said, hey, you're the oldest. You know, in the Asian culture, the oldest son needs to take care of the family. Hey, you need to take care of your mom. Hey, you need to do this. You need to be more responsible. Take care of your siblings. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, look at this as an opportunity. Like, who says that to a young man who shares this with you? Right? You're like, oh, Pastor Jeremy, that was really bad. Should not have said those things. And you're right. He looked at me and he was pissed off. He was so mad. And back then, like, I had no idea. Like, I was like, what did I do? What did I say? Like, what? Like, wait a minute. If you're mad, what am I supposed to say? I don't know. See, this young man, what he was looking for was an empathic response. Just someone to share this burden with, this incredible trauma that just happened in his life. And he needed someone to just sit there and be with him. That is an empathic response. And for us to kind of understand a little bit more, I put on this slide a little bit of a difference between empathy and sympathy. See, empathy comes from emotions based. Recognition, what I did was I recognized what was going on. It's a cognitive thing. Like, oh, okay, I get it. I see what's going on. But empathy is an emotional response. It comes from within the gut, the core of who we are. And it's the ability to identify another person's emotions, feelings, situation. And instead, I had a sympathetic response, which was, oh, that really stinks, like for you. I don't, you know. And then using my own experiences to talk him through it, to be about solutions, rather than putting myself in his shoes, to understand how he felt. And this is what empathy and sympathy looks like. And for most of us, we have a sympathetic response. Naturally, we have that sympathetic response. During the pandemic, while my wife was pregnant with Isaiah, we would go on walks together around our neighborhood. That was our main form of exercise. And we would go on walks, and during that time, my wife would do counseling sessions online. So I remember this one conversation that we had. My wife said, you know what, Jeremy, like, this week has been rough. Man, you have no idea what it's like to try to do counseling online. And at the time, she was mainly doing, like, kids, anywhere from 3 to 18-year-old kids. And so she would tell me these stories about how hard it was. You know, one of her kids would get up and run out the door or start eating snacks in the middle of her sessions, things like that. So she was telling me all of these things. And I remember as we were walking, my response was, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? Youth ministry is really hard. Yeah, like when I do our fellowship online, everyone's cameras are off. Some kids are playing Minecraft while I'm teaching. Other kids are actually, like, they're straight up, like, not paying attention. There's another kid, one of my middle school students, drawing on the screen while I'm trying to teach Bible lesson here. Youth ministry is really tough. And then my wife, I remember this, she looked directly at me. She goes, Jeremy, you know we're not talking about you, right? And I said, wait, you know, youth ministry, Zoom, yeah, online ministry. Yeah, obviously, we're talking about my ministry here. It's tough. And she said, no, we were talking about me. And she, like, stormed off. She, like, walked, like, really far and fast ahead of me. And I remember thinking, like, oh, yeah, we weren't talking about me. And this happened just last year. So, like, the sympathetic response is very natural for us as human beings. But most of the time, when we're talking about connecting and understanding another human being, we're looking for an empathetic response. Understanding, just saying, yeah, that is super frustrating. I would be really mad just if I were, you know, in that situation. Yeah, I get it. See, that's what my wife was looking for, yet my response was to talk immediately about me. And that's most of us. That's usually what happens for us. And so this is kind of for us just to identify that there is a difference between an empathic response and a sympathetic response. See, a sympathetic response continues to divide us. Because that sympathetic response tells another person, I understand the situation, but I don't really understand you. this is the difference, and this is why we need to understand what empathy is. So our third question, why is empathy important to the church? And I'm going to hit you guys with the most Sunday school Bible answer ever. The answer is Jesus. Why is empathy important? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Yeah, I know that Jesus is the answer to everything. Like when you guys go to Sunday school, when you're in Awana, when you're, your youth leaders are asking you, like, what is the answer to this? You're like, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the answer. And we see in Scripture that Jesus is the one who empathizes with us. See, our whole religion, our whole faith community is based upon this, that God in his love and his compassion looked upon us as human beings, and knowing that we could not have done anything to save ourselves, we could have done nothing to save ourselves, he was moved into action, sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to live as a human being. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, it says this, for who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. We just talked about how empathy is taking our own perspective and putting it into another's. You see, our God, Jesus Christ, in heaven could have stayed there and he could have said, hey, humanity, that sucks for you guys. That stinks. I'm sorry. You've sinned against the holy God, the righteous God. And what instead, you deserve wrath, you deserve God's punishment, you deserve all of these things. Sucks to suck. Sorry. That's what God could have done, and that's what God should have done if we just think about who God is as a righteous, holy, wrathful God. But no, God describes himself as compassionate. The first adjective that God uses to describe himself to Moses is a compassionate God. And he sees us in our sin, while we were still sinners, while we were still far from God, and he saw that and he was moved into action. His redemptive plan for humanity began with Jesus emptying himself, taking on the form of a servant, the likeness of you and I, so that we can have that connection with God, that we can be reconciled to God. Jesus understands us. Jesus gets us. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. See, God sent his son to fuel that connection between us and God. Jesus understands everything that we are going through. The isolation, the feelings of loneliness, the amount of anxiety in our world today. Jesus understands. Jesus gets us. It's because of what he did on the cross, because of God's great redemptive plan for us, for humanity, that you and I need to have this for the church. It is so important for our church today because empathy fuels connection. Jesus did it. God sent his son to allow us to fuel that connection between us and God. See, church, today our world even more so today. The debates can go on forever. You can talk about vaccines. You can talk about masks. You can talk about Black Lives Matter. You can talk about Haiti, you can talk about Afghanistan. You can talk about all of these things. You can talk about all of these things, and everyone seems to fall on one side or the other. Everyone seems to fall and have an opinion, or they use scripture, or they use their own experience, or they do this or do that. In our world today, you can draw very distinct and clear lines on almost anything that is going on in our world today. And I don't know what is exactly going on here at West Houston Vietnamese Baptist, but at Fort Bend Community Church, there have been some clear lines that have been drawn. We worship the same God. We worship the same God. In the church, in this church at Fort Bend, we worship the same God. And this, what has divided the world has begun to divide the church. What has begun to divide the church has begun to divide our families, individual families. See, all throughout the New Testament, God calls us to be unified as the church. It's important. We're talking about the Corinthian church. There's a lot of disunity that's going on in the church. Paul continues to preach and teach upon the unifying of the church and how we as the church, we are the bride of Christ waiting on his return. See, this division, it has affected us in a very deep, deep way. I want to share a story with you guys. My parents are actually missionaries in Germany right now. And surprisingly, there's actually a number, like a very, very large number of Chinese-speaking or Chinese immigrants in Germany. And so my parents are in Germany doing mission work at that time, or as of right now. And they have been there since 2016. And since then, when they moved, my dad asked me if we would move into their house. This is the house that me and my sisters grew up in. And if we would house sit for them. So just looking at, you know, I'm a pastor, my wife worked for a nonprofit, we're like, okay, like we could save on rent. We don't have to, you know, great, operate financially, it makes a lot of sense. So we've been living at my parents' house since 2016, so it's about 6 years now. My parents, right before the pandemic hit in the beginning of 2020. My parents had actually come back because my grandpa was very, very sick and he actually passed away during that time. throughout the pandemic and throughout all of these things that are happening, I remember having these FaceTime discussions with my parents. Talk to them about why we should care as the church for Black Lives Matters, why we should care about women's rights, why should we care about abortion, and why should we care about these things. My parents are very conservative Christians. And just to kind of give you an idea of what that's like, just kind of give you an idea of what that kind of conversation is like. And I remember feeling extremely frustrated and feeling extremely not understood through all of these conversations. When Isaiah was born, we started talking about when my parents could start coming back and maybe see their grandson for the first time. And so we started having these discussions of what it was like. They were willing to get the vaccine, so we were really excited about that. And when the vaccines rolled out, we said, hey, mom, dad, like, come back, get the vaccine, come see your grandson. They were excited, we were excited. And then we started having these conversations about, and I don't know how, in the Asian culture, it's really weird. In the Asian culture, there's something that is very, when you want to talk about family and you want to talk about boundaries, those two things cannot be in the same conversation. You cannot have boundaries within the family, right? And through COVID, the vaccines had just started rolling out. This was early 2020 or 2021 this year. And I remember I told my dad, I said, hey, dad, when you guys come back, you guys are gonna be on the plane for a really long time. You're going to be traveling for a really long time. I don't know who's on the plane. I don't know all of these things. I was wondering if you would be willing to wear a mask while you're at home, just to, you know, protect Isaiah. And I don't know if, you know, like, we just would like to establish a few rules. Like, one, if you could wear a mask inside the house, we would really appreciate it. Two, my parents are actually quite, I don't know if popular is the right word at church, popularity at church, but a lot of people know them, and so whenever they come back to visit, there's all these people that come over to the house. They say hi, and my mom is very Asian. You know, it's like someone rings the doorbell, and they're like, oh, come in. Would you like some tea? Would you like to sit down? Would you like to eat something? I have all of this food ready for you. Like, magically, there's the food always prepared at an Asian household, right? And so knowing that about my mom's super hospitable. So I said, Mom, is it okay if you don't ask people to come over? can you guys, so two things, can you guys wear a mask at the house? Can you guys ask people not to come over? And my parents were pissed. They were so mad. I did not expect that response. As a son, as a new father, I remember thinking, I had a conversation with my wife. I said, why don't they understand that they need to protect their grandson? Why don't they get it? What is wrong with my parents? Why don't they understand our situation? And so when my parents, so all throughout this time, my parents come back and so that from the time that we had that conversation to the time that my parents come back, nothing changes. My parents are upset. I'm upset. My parents are like, hey, this is our house. What do you mean you want us to wear a mask? This is our house. What do you mean we're not allowed to have people over? Like, Mom, it's the pandemic. It's a pandemic. Like, what do you not understand? It's a pandemic. You don't get it. You don't understand. And so there's this incredibly awkward 2 months of us living at the house with my parents, trying to figure out and navigate this. At the time, Isaiah was 6 months old, trying to navigate his schedule, trying to figure out how to, like, you know, just, like, figure this thing out. All along, there's this underlying conflict that's going on in my family. And it's just about these two things. And if you guys know me, I hate conflict. I run away. Normally, I just run away from conflict. It is terrible. Right before my parents headed back for Germany, I got a call from my aunt. My aunt usually works as the peacemaker in our families, our cousins and our extended family. My aunt called me and she said, hey, Jeremy, I just want to share a little bit of perspective about what your parents are going through. Is that okay? And I said, yeah, that's fine. I'll listen. So listen to it. My aunt shared about how just incredibly difficult mission work has been, how isolating, how lonely it has been. It's already really lonely for my parents there in Germany because they had lost a lot of their community, but even more so online. On top of that, the last thing they remember about home is my mother's dad, my grandpa, passing away. On top of that, my mom is a very social person, as you can tell, just her hospitality. And for her to be stuck with my dad for over a year, like that, you know. And so my aunt shared all of these things with me, and I listened to her, and I was, just thinking about it. And I got even more upset. Like that, normally you want that response to be, oh, like, I understand, I get it. But no, I got more upset and I got more defensive. And I said, like, Auntie, you don't get my perspective. You don't understand me. Like, what about us? I know that's not the right response, but that was my response. And this was, you know, 2-3 months ago. So, at the end of the day, it's really, this is something that all of us need to continue working on. It took a really long time for me to really think about it and take the time to process what my aunt told me. And at this point, like now, where I am now, I finally understand and empathize with what my parents have gone through. Does it change things? Not really. It's been hard. It's still been hard. But now I have an empathetic and empathic response to my parents. Lastly, I just want to go through this very quickly. How does this affect me? How does this affect me? Empathy leads to compassion. This is what we started talking about. When you and I begin to have an empathic response to people, our families, our church, our world around us, our coworkers, our bosses, things, our classmates, we begin to not just feel bad or have those feelings, but it leads us into action. Our God is a God of compassion. And in the book of Luke, this is what it says. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. The more that you and I practice empathy, the more that you and I have our faith moved into action. If we're going to be a church that is unified, we must have an empathetic response. To go to the Vietnamese-speaking community, the congregation, to have that understanding of what they're going through, for them to come and listen to our stories as the EM. That's what it's going to take. It's difficult. It's hard. It's not easy. But the more that we practice, the more unified we have, and the more like Jesus we will be. Jesus, always filled with compassion. When Jesus saw the crowd, he was filled with compassion. When Jesus saw the children, he was filled with compassion. When Jesus saw the woman at the well, he was filled with compassion. Our Lord, our God, is filled with compassion. So I just want to leave us with some very practical, I know I'm running out of time, very practical things that we can do to practice. Our goal is to master this art. And it is something, it's a skill that each and every one of us can have. First, I challenge us to listen, take the time to listen, whether it's your spouse, coworker, boss, parents, children, whatever it is, to take the time to listen, practice listening with empathy. And the first part of practicing with listening with empathy is listening for longing and losses. What are their dreams? What do they hope to be when they grow up? Where have they been hurt? Listening for those things, that takes active listening. It doesn't mean you can be on your cell phone while having these conversations. It doesn't mean you can be watching the football games that are happening very soon. You know, it means paying attention, giving them your undivided attention, listening for these things that are going on in their lives. Secondly, and this one's really hard, replace advice giving with curiosity. When I share with you, I had a sympathetic response, a solutions-based response. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Advice giving with curiosity. Replace that. Instead of saying, like, hey, let me tell you how to fix this situation. Let me tell you how to, like, navigate through this weird thing that's going on at work. No. Listen and replace with curiosity. Ask questions. Oh, that's, you know, what is this like? How would this kind of situation change? Asking a lot of questions. And this one's really hard because, you know, we love giving advice. And a lot of us are really good at giving advice. Number three, listen without judgment. Now, this one's also, like, all of these are really hard. When I have conversations with parents about this and I tell them this, listen without judging your children, this one's really hard because the response is usually, they say a lot of wrong things. Don't you know that, Pastor Jeremy? They say a lot of wrong things. I'm like, yes, they do. But there's a time to lecture and there's a time to listen. And our goal and our challenge today is to listen and to listen with curiosity. Lastly, check your agenda at the door. Each and every one of us has our own experience, and because of that, it colors and it shades our conversations. It has, there's something that's going on that really changes our perspective. Empathy practices putting ourselves into their perspective, not them putting into ours. So whatever preconceived notions that you have about other people, leave that at the door and listen with curiosity. What are those things that are going on that have affected you in your life? And I just want to say this. People, with empathy, the understanding is this. People are not projects. We're not here to fix people. We're here to fuel that connection between people. Just as God has fueled that connection through Jesus Christ, so that you and I can have a relationship with God, that we can call God our Heavenly Father. So I just challenge us this week. Find someone. There's got to be someone in your life that as I was talking, you're thinking, like, oh, like, I just want to have this conversation. And I really pray and I really hope that this is just the start, the beginning of healing in those relationships, of understanding one another, and a unified church, a unified West Houston Vietnamese Baptist Church. And so this is my goal, this is my hope and my prayer for you all this week. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a God that did not just simply stay in heaven to leave us where we are. But Lord, you sent your Son to die on the cross for us so that we may live, that we may have this connection with you, our Heavenly Father. You've reconciled us from being far from you to being able to have a relationship with you, to be able to call you our Abba Father. So God, as we have these conversations this week, Lord, we pray and we rely on the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we trust deeply in the Holy Spirit, that you are leading us and guiding us in these conversations, that we may have an empathetic response, a better understanding of one another, and through this divided world, that our church will be unified in you. So Father, we thank you, we love you, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ by your Spirit.